Okay, Billa, we're standing in the corridor of the first ever meeting of Coder Dojo. Before you say a single word, I just want
to...
In Glanmire, sorry. Let's get the ambient sound.
Are you going to have enough room here? Well, I'm hoping to... I'm
not going to clog up it, but... Okay, we've got the ambient sound. Look, let me ask you a very simple question, Bill.
Yes.
Why are you here?
Because I'm committed to a world that works for all living things, and a big chunk of that includes the kids of Ireland being fully empowered in education and the kids of the world being fully empowered in education.
And why are you here today?
To see that this goes as well as possibly.
And, you know, why aren't you somewhere else?
Because I'm committed to seeing this movement thrive. And Glanmire is particularly interesting because it's a smaller dojo in a small area, and it's also arisen completely from the strength of the local community, and that's a powerful thing. You know, it proves the model that it can continue to scale without any money.
Did you come here alone today?
No, I brought my family with me. Three of my kids are in Coder Dojo, and my wife is actually coming to see it for the first time herself.
You mean she's coming to see she's never been to a Coder Dojo before?
No, she hasn't.
And the one she chose to come to was the one in Glanmire?
Absolutely.
Wow. Where did you sleep last night?
In West Cork, in near Clonakilty.
Well, I asked you that question I could have asked it 1,000 other ways, but I wanted to know if you travelled to get here today.
Not far. No, other side of Cork. Yeah.
But it means you got up, and I didn't actually realise you were coming. I thought you were coming, then I thought you weren't coming. And I got a phone call from Shirley while I was over in Blackpool swimming pool. And she said you were here, but I left my bag here. So is there anything else you want to say about Coder Dojo while I've got you?
Sure. The most important thing for me is that kids have fun doing it. You know, we see all of the world is obsessed in education with pedagogy. And we actually just create a learning environment. It's not about education, it's about learning. We call it playdagogy.
And it's playdagogy?
Playdagogy, yes.
Did you invent that word?
Yes.
Have you got it trademarked? Playdagogy. I love it. Must use that hashtag. Go on.
And the idea is very simple, you know, to play with this stuff until you figure it out. And to do it together, collaboratively. And so, you know, for me, to see kids playing with this stuff, playing together, learning hardcore language, and at the same time having fun with it collaboratively, I know they're not going to end up as antisocial geeks.
They're not going to end up as antisocial geeks, are they not?
No, they'll end up as poets, right? You know, if you learn a language sufficiently well, if you become a native speaker, you can then go on to become a poet. And the best programmers are poets. They squeeze more impact into fewer lines of code, just as poets.
That's what I do as a poet.
You squeeze more impact into fewer pithier words. Programmers do exactly the same thing. You have to learn the language as a native. It is very hard to be a poet as a merely fluent speaker. I'm looking for the few poets that come out of this, because they're going to transform Ireland forever.
And the other ones may not transform Ireland, but they may transform their own lives.
Absolutely. I mean, look at it. Any career you pick, computers impact all our lives in every angle. Now, if you don't know how to reach into the screen and actually change something, your life can be made a misery by that. I mean, think of the number of people who every day get frustrated by a glitch in a program and have no power to change that.
That's me. Mm-hmm. I can't do a single line. I never wrote a line of code in my life.
These kids will never have that problem.
Are these the kind of people who will do things like they will eventually be able to hack into an existing program, I think that might be the phrase, and alter a line of codes to make it work even better?
Yeah, a white hat hack.
Okay, so that's what's going on here in this room. Do you know, I left...
White hats are cool, and we have one rule. Be cool.
Yes, I know, and I put that in a tweet this morning because I said there's a sign on the door here that says the uniform, always wear your uniform. So I put up a tweet that's, a photograph on Instagram with words attached to it saying that the uniform at Coda Dojo is cool.
Absolutely.
But this thing about poetry, you never used the word teacher when you were talking there, right?
There are no teachers, only mentors in Coda Dojo. That's a key part of pedagogy.
Right, there are no teachers, only mentors, right? I thought you were going to actually say there are no teachers, only players, or there are no teachers, only learners. I mean, that's actually what I think. I actually think that room is just full of people learning.
It's a learning context. Yeah,
even the people who are helping other people, they're learning how to be better helpers.
Absolutely. Not only are they that, they're also learning, relearning what the buzz and enthusiasm of youth is. You know, many mentors come to Coda Dojo with a kind of, I'm going to contribute oeuvre. Many more of them leave going, wow, that was awesome.
I rediscovered
awesome.
My passion.
Exactly.
I mean, people, this word mentor means so many different things to people. You know, I just wonder, there'll be people listening to this in local Glenmire here. I mean, just from your point of view, is what kind of a person would be useful to have as a mentor?
At Coda Dojo, interestingly, anyone who knows how to program, of course, in any language, doesn't matter how much.
Okay. That means I can't be a mentor. Go on, tell me the other things. Go on. Okay, go on.
Also, wordsmiths, which you qualify for.
Yeah.
Designers, artists, anyone who can show how you can interact better with the world is a useful person to come in and help with Coda Dojo, because great software should be invisible.
Like great wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
You go into a room, you got a wonderful painting on the wall, you do not want to be looking at the wallpaper.
Why do we love these little devices that you're recording me on here, this little Apple thing? It's because somebody took the time to explore the intersection between artistic design and function and form. Now, programming will get you so far, but there are other arts that you need to explore. If you especially want to be a game designer or a really good consumer software designer, you need to understand about colour, you need to understand about poetry, you need to understand about emotion.
Absolutely. You need to understand that the user, that horrible word, the person, the experiencer, is having emotions.
Yes. And you want to support that and leave them empowered. Now, again, there is a temptation for people to come in and say, well, I'm an artist, I'll teach you about art. No. Be an artist in the room. Bring art to the room. Like, we have a fantastic photographer down at Marne Point who's covered the walls in interesting photos. Another artist there who've done big pictures and so forth. And these are fantastic for the dojo because it adds to the
learning.
This
is in the software center on a Saturday morning. Now, I've been in there and I didn't actually notice anything on the walls. What I noticed was the noise and the people and the buzz.
Look at the walls carefully and you'll see art is present.
Well, you know, you just remind me of another guy who I must mention in case you know him or don't, or even if you don't know him, he's AJ Lamb. And it's this thing about an artist, right? He's doing something remarkable. He's going around the world in 1,080 days, right? He's at the moment in California, right? And the other day, the day before yesterday, he wrote a blog post. And it was very much about this point that you get to as an artist, where if I'm an artist and I go into this room and I'm going to do an artistic work with the people in the room, the point that I'm going to experience, if I'm really living my art, is I'm going to have to take a leap into the unknown.
Yes.
Right? That angst and that uncertainty that is inherent in all art. If I go in and I teach people about art, I'm not being an artist, right?
You can see that angst and uncertainty mixed with pleasure and joy and buzz and curiosity all in that room just there.
Leaping into the unknown.
And children will leap so much quicker than adults.
And the thing that they will do, of course, is that they'll recover from their failures and their stumbles and their falls really quickly.
Exactly.
And the more times they fail to get something to work and get back up and carry on, you know,
the more resilient, more persistent, the more disciplined they become, actually.
And the more they build a habit of regarding recovery as the ability to recover is the greatest art of all.
Absolutely. The ability to take criticism as well.
You don't have to answer this question, but I know you're an entrepreneur, right?
Yes.
But the question I would put to you, and I'm not, you know, you could come out of the blue to you, is how many ventures have you set up that have failed in your entire life?
Lots.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And if you call each little thing that you do a venture in its own right,
I'll put the answer another way. Show me someone who is failing a lot, and I'll show you someone who's succeeding because they're doing a lot. Show me someone who never fails, and I will show you a couch potato.
I was reading Little Bets by Peter Sims.
Yep.
As part of a group called Smarter Egg in the last while.
It's a good book.
Yeah, it's good. And that is all about, or part of it is all about failing and designing your business in such a way, or designing your enterprise. And this is an enterprise in my head. It's no different from, you know, for each individual kid in there is...
Coda Dojo is different from a traditional enterprise because it's a scale-free network. It's decentralized. If you want to read a great book about how decentralized networks are powerful and spread, read The Starfish and the Spider by my friend Rob Beckstrom. Because we designed Coda Dojo to be scale-free, to actually not require central infrastructure to function.
And did that book influence you in your thinking?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The Starfish
and the Spider.
And The Spider. By who?
Rod Beckstrom.
Beckstrom. Where's he from?
He's American.
Right. Are you American?
No, I'm an Australian.
You're Australian? Whereabouts?
Melbourne originally.
Melbourne. Can I tell you a funny story?
This is whether this will have time to be recorded or not is.
I once stood in a pub in Bradford-on-Avon in Wiltshire in England, and I was about to facilitate a poetry and prose evening in the back of a pub on a Monday night, right? And I get talking to a man and his wife, and they got two kids with them,
yep.
And it turned out they're from Melbourne. So I still remember vividly, this is about 1998. I remember saying to him, I said, oh, by the way, I said, who are you? And he said he was a fruit and vegetable merchant from Melbourne. So in case he's listening to this, which he probably won't be. So I said, by the way, have there ever been any Australian poets? And he looked at me just as you did, right? He looked at me as if I had two heads, as if, what? You mean you don't know? And I honestly held my hands up. Now, I am a poet, but I am not somebody who knew all about the history of poetry. I had never heard. I couldn't have named a single Australian poet, right? So when anyone ever mentions Melbourne to me, I think back to that wonderful moment. And do you know who he told me about?
No.
Do you want to guess?
No, you go.
Okay, I can't tell you. He told me about somebody who everybody knows, but nobody knows they know him. He told me about Banjo Patterson.
Oh, jeez.
you wouldn't know the name of the guy who talked about the Internet of Things yesterday.
No.
No, don't worry. That's okay. Thanks.
Oh, another laptop. Bring it in.
The Banjo Patterson, yeah. I had never heard of, right? And the author of The Man from Snowy River, which I now think is one of the great poems of all time, right? But it was that point in my life where I realized that, of course, he wrote Waltzing Matilda, which everybody knows.
Right? So speaking of wordsmiths, there are a couple of quotes that I particularly like for Coda Dojo. George Bernard Shaw and Oscar Wilde both said things that are relevant. Let me see if I can remember the Wilde quote first. Education is a laudable thing, and it's worth noting from time to time that anything worth knowing can't be taught.
Wow. That's Shaw.
Oscar Wilde.
That's Wilde. A very long Wilde one.
Yeah,
usually more pithy than that. Right, I love that. You love it, yeah?
I'm just trying to remember the Shaw quote.
That must be from Wilde's book about socialism, I'd have thought.
There's a Robert Burns line, which I like too, which is, Ye the spark of nature's fire, that's all the learning I desire. Also relevant.
Yeah.
And I like these little clever wordplays called paraprosdokians.
Pardon? Called what?
Paraprosdokians. Para, contrary, Presdokian to expectation.
Well, you've taught me a new word.
And it's a modern word. It's not in the dictionary. It's been in use for a couple of hundred years. And it basically means a sentence where the back end of the sentence makes you reevaluate the front end of the sentence, either because it relates to an aphorism that you know, or there's a syllogy or a synopsis or something. I came up with one for Coda Dojo, which is children should be seen and not herded.
I love that. There was one I was brought up on, which is curiosity kill the cat, right?
And satisfaction brought it back.
Now I don't know. Is that the is that like that? The fact that I'd forgotten the second part. No, because I thought I'd like to take your word you've just given me.
Paraprosdokian.
Yeah.
You can go to my website. I have a little fun website on that called paraprosdokianfun.com. And I list a whole lot of them. You'll find all the quotes there that I love.
Are you open to people finding new ones and suggesting them in the
absolutely.
Comments
there's
or something?
There's a comment field there. Yeah, please. And there's a #paraprosdokian.
I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that idea, right, of yours, right, and I'm going to put it onto Listly, right? The platform that you know about,
yeah.
Right. So I'm going to put a list up of a few of them, and people can add ones that they like to it, or invent them.
Please do a link back to
go to your website, find the ones you like. This is what I'll do. I'll set up a list on Listly, and I'll say that I've looked at all the paraphernalia on your website.
Paraphernalia.
Right. And these are the three I picked out. And other people can go to your website, look at them all, and pick the ones that they like. And then we'll have a direct link between your original collection and this. Hey, look, we're going to run out of time.
Here's the short quote for you.
Go on.
We want to see children in pursuit of knowledge and not knowledge in pursuit of children.
With those words, Bilal, I give you the last word. The very last word.
The last word? Fun.